lift our hands all over the sanctuary. He's that promise keeper. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I bless your name, Jesus. Here you go, Ray. Lord, I love you, Jesus. Amen. Even when I don't see him, he's working. Even when I don't see him, Jessica, he's working. Even when I don't feel him, he's working. Amen. Even when I don't see him, he's working. Even when I don't feel him, he's working. He never stops. He never stops working. He never stops. He never stops working. Even when I don't see him, he's working. Even when I don't feel him, he's working. He never stops. He never stops. He never stops. He never stops. Come on, living life. Even when I don't see him, he's working. Even when I don't feel him, he's working. He never stops. He never stops working. He never stops. Thank you, Jesus. Luke chapter 7. Let's turn there quickly. Luke chapter 7, verse 36 through verses 50. I had a friend that I was talking to this morning. And he said, I have an anticipation in my heart. He said, if people don't feel what I hope to feel, their wood's wet. That means they ain't got no fire in them. Amen. Today, the reason why I feel like I worshiped harder today, if you can even say that, I feel like I worshiped harder because of the sermon the Lord laid on my heart. I told Mandy, I've told several other individuals, the Lord lays a sermon on my heart, I'll write it down, or I know the Sunday I'm going to preach it. With this sermon right here, I have sat on all week long. Barbara couldn't figure out how to preach it. I wrote a little bitty page. I spent 2 hours and filled up half a page trying to figure out how to preach it. Now, when y'all start reading this, you're going to be like, how hard was it to preach? Well, because God made me look in a way I never looked at it before. Now, I'm not saying I'm the first person who's ever preached it this way. Some of you may have heard it 30 years ago, and if so, act like it's the first time. But I want to talk about a woman this morning, and I want to focus on what she did. Yeah. Not what everybody else did, but what she did. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 7, if we can all stand for the reading of God's Word, verse 36, and it says, And one of the Pharisees desired that Jesus would come and eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down and ate. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a
sinner.
Y'all hear that? Look at how the Bible describes her. And behold, a woman in the city. That could have been enough. But no. Which was a
sinner.
When she knew that Jesus sat and ate in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box full of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with her tears. And she wiped them with the hairs of her head, and she kissed his feet, and she anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisees which had bidden him saw it, he said in himself, listen right here, if Jesus were a prophet, he would know who and what manner, oh my goodness, not who, not what, but who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she is a sinner. Someone look at your neighbor and say, what was her name? What was her? We don't know. No one's telling us. The only thing we know about her, she's a sinner. She's a sinner. And Jesus answered, saying unto him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he said, Master, go ahead and say it. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors, and one owed 500 and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him the most? Simon, who's the Pharisee who invited Jesus into his house, look at what he said. I suppose that he to him who forgave the most, that would be the one who loved him the most. And guess what Jesus said? You've rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, you see this woman right here? Do you see this woman right here? I came into your house. I came into your house and you didn't give me no water for my feet. Yet she washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but yet this woman that came in has not stopped kissing my feet. My head with oil you did not anoint, but this woman has anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto you, her sins, listen to what Jesus said, which are many, are what? Forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. And he said unto her, your sins are forgiven. And they sat at the table with him and began to ask against themselves, who is this man that he could forgive also? And he said unto the woman, look at who he's talking to. He's not even acknowledging them who's around the table judging. He instead looks at the woman and he says, your faith has saved you. Now go in peace. He closed the book on her story right then. He said, it's forgiven. It's over. Now go in peace. Today, I want, Cindy, you're going to have to be quiet now, okay? Okay, you're going to have to be quiet. Let me talk, okay? This is what Jesus was telling the people. You came with nothing, but she came with everything. You came with the table spread, but she came with all she had. You came with your spiritual rhetoric, but she came with a black heart that needed to be forgiven. I want to talk about her worship this morning. What worship? Her worship. I want us to look to this woman right here, who I believe is in the presence of his, in the presence of who he is right now in heaven. He told her those words while looking right at her. Your sins have been forgiven. Now go in peace. Heavenly Father, God, I worship you. Lord, I magnify you. Lord, I thank you for everything that you've done inside of this church this morning. Lord, but we know more is coming. Lord, we know there is greater. And Heavenly Father, God, Lord, for us to reach that greatness in you, Lord, we have to go against what people think of us. To reach the true presence of who you are, sometimes I got to forget there's people in the room and I got to focus just on you. Heavenly Father, God, Lord, I ask you anoint me to be able to bring forth this word that you've laid on my heart. Heavenly Father, God, Lord, touch us all to be able to worship you and grow closer to you. And Lord, we ask this all in Jesus' name. And we say amen and amen. You may be seated. I've studied a lot of psychology classes and spent many hours writing papers and getting a portfolio ready and working on this and working on that. But not only have I learned it in the books, but working with the public, I've learned that everybody's different. And the saints of God say amen. Amen. One of the biggest life lessons that I've ever learned, and one that I hold dear and near to my heart, and that I exercise fairly often, is one that I want you to remember. Are y'all ready for it? Stop expecting yourself out of other people. That was some good preaching right there. Stop expecting yourself out of other people. Because what you expect someone else to do that you would have done, sometimes we're going to get our feelings hurt. When I realized that, it took a lot off of my shoulders trying to understand why people would do the things that they do. I can't expect myself out of somebody else. I want y'all to listen right here. If you change your expectation of those people, you will limit your frustrations. Someone say, that's enough sermon right there. Let's go home. That's some good preaching. If you change your expectation, you will limit your frustrations. Once you teach me who you are, then guess what? I know who you are, and I know what to expect out of you. And I'm never disappointed because I knew what to expect because you showed me who you were. Someone say, preach it, Pastor, preach it. When we get our mind made up, stop expecting yourself out of other people. There are people that I know who says I'll be there, but they never show up. They never call, they never text, they just don't show up. So what do I learn how to do? I learn how to not expect things out of that person. Unfortunately, some people, that's just who they are. So making myself feel better, stop expecting me out of other people. In Luke's gospel, we read about a woman. Now, I want y'all to buckle up with me this morning because this sermon is either going to work or y'all going to wish that y'all would have shouted during Waymaker. That's all there is to it. There is no gray area. There is no gray area. I literally walked in this morning with a piece of paper with some red scribble scrabble on it saying, this is all I got this morning. So we're gonna see how it goes this morning. So if it's bad, Amanda, y'all should have sang it one more time, okay? In Luke's gospel, we read of a woman in the city who was a That's the way she was described. A woman who was a sinner. A woman who was living in sin. A woman who didn't know right from wrong. Yes, she did, because she knew where she was going. This woman was standing outside of the house of Simon the Pharisee. Now listen right here. What did I just teach you? Don't expect yourself out of others. Know what to expect when you go into it, because that's how you're going to find yourself in the audience of that person. Now let's talk about this. Many theologians believe this woman was a prostitute. Many believe that she was a woman who walked the streets and that would sell herself for money. We've heard the stories before. That's the reason why some people said she had enough money to have an alabaster box full of this precious ointment. Some theologians believe that actually that the smell that she was familiar with, that when she would open up an alabaster box, she wore a necklace that many of these women who walked the streets would wear, a little box full of that ointment that had a little hole on the top of it. So when she would walk, all of a sudden the sweet aroma of that oil would begin to smell, get in the men's nostrils, and they would be attracted to her. So she was familiar with an alabaster box, and she was walking one day and she looked over at a house and she knew whose house it was. It was Simon the Pharisee. Y'all going with me? She knew who lived in that house. She knew what to expect of the man who lived in that house. She knew he was a religious man. She knew he knew the law. She knew that he studied the law. She knew that he was one of the ones who were separated from the world so that he could honor God by knowing the law verbatim. But yet she stood at the door. My Lord. But yet she stood at the door with an alabaster box in her hand, thinking, I can go my way Or I can go into that house because I know who's in there. Y'all help me preach right here. She had a moment where she asked herself the question, Tim, do I go in because I know I'm going to be judged? Or do I walk my own way and do what I know to do best? Somebody tell me to preach right here. This was a woman who was the city of the city, but yet she had enough alabaster. She had enough in her hand to buy an alabaster box that she thought, do I use it to find men or do I use it to go to the man? Do I go and do the things I've always done before? Or do I change the trajectory of my life? And do I walk in a man's house who I know will look down on me and judge me because I'm not a person of his caliber? I'm stained in sin. I'm wretched. But there's a man in there, a man that I've never met before, a man that I've never talked to before, a man that I've never been with before. But he's a man who can do things different than any man who's ever touched me before has done. My God, someone tell me to preach right here. So she had a decision to make in herself. Do I go in and pour out my best to a man who could judge me and throw me out with the dishwater? Or do I go and do the sin that I know how to do? I know if I walk in, they'll judge me. I know if I walk in, they'll scorn me. But yet I know there's a man in there who can change everything about myself. And what do I want to do? I wish somebody would listen to what I'm saying to you right here this morning. Stop thinking about what other people think of you and make up in your mind, I came for Jesus and Jesus only. There's nobody else I'm here for. There's no other Sunday school teacher I'm here for. There's no pastor I'm here for. There's no praise team I'm here for. I just came to get to Jesus. Is there anybody in the house who can testify of that right there? Our text says that when she knew that Jesus sat at the dinner table with the Pharisee in his house, the door opened up. My goodness. I want to run and scream. I almost took off running during Waymaker. If I would have ran, we would still be singing that song because y'all knew it would have been the Holy Ghost. What did she do? She stood at the door. Help me now. She stood at the door with the moment, do I go in and be judged? Or do I turn around and go the other way? But yet she made a choice in her mind. She opened up the door and she put one step in front of another. Help me, somebody. Somebody tell me to keep preaching this story right here. Now, when she walked in, Simon was not alone because he had a house full of people. Anywhere Jesus was a house full of people. When she walked in the room, they all turned and looked at her. But what did it say, Granny Jean? When she saw him. Oh, stuff. Which means that everybody else was looking down their religious nose at her. But Jesus was minding his own business. When everybody else was saying she's a woman of the street, she's a sinner, Jesus was just sitting there dining at the table of the Pharisee whose name was Simon. While everybody else was talking about what clothes she wore, while everybody else was talking about the man that she was saw with last week, while everybody was talking about how can she have enough money to have an alabaster box, Jesus was sitting at the table minding his own business. But the woman walked right on past. She was ready for their looks. She was ready for their glares of judgment. She was ready for their whispers. Why was she ready? Because she had an alabaster box that she had never opened for any man. And she was ready to meet the one man who could change her life. I wish somebody would listen to what I'm trying to tell you. We don't come to church week after week after week after week and not expect Jesus to change our lives. Y'all, listen to what I'm saying. If you're still the same person you was 6 weeks ago, we need to reevaluate how I'm preaching and what you're learning, because you should not be the same place 6 weeks ago. Oh, somebody, listen to what I'm about to tell you right here. If I was where I was 6 weeks ago, you would have a depressed pastor up here, but you're looking at a pastor who every day has to learn how to climb a little bit higher and fight a little bit harder and pray just a little bit longer and pray just a little bit more. Why? Because I can't be who I was yesterday, because I'm looking for a man whose name is Jesus. Oh my goodness. Now, listen to what this says right here. Some commentaries have a debate on what the alabaster box was. Some people believe the alabaster box was a tall alabaster slender vial that had a long neck that was sealed. And when a woman was ready to break it, she would break the end of the flask and the aroma would fill the room. Some commentaries believe that it was a box feature that she would walk around with that had a lid that had been sealed for many years on top of it, and it took a strong hand to be able to break the seal, but it could be reclosed. But no matter what form it was, it had to be broken for her to be able to pour it out to him. Oh my goodness. Somebody listen, because when she broke it, there was no turning back. She had to use the oil. She had to use the perfume oil in the bottle, or it would begin to expire after so long. Because the oil has to be kept until it's time to be used. Because if you leave the oil out, the oil's going to get dirty. Somebody tell me to preach. If you leave the oil out, it's going to collect debris. If you leave the oil out, anything that flies over, it's going to fall into it. And the oil has become dirty and the oil can't be used. My God. I'm going to walk around my iPad. Y'all ain't shouting with me this morning. So what did she do? She waited until she got in the house. She waited till she passed him. And she went and found this man named Jesus. And the moment she got up, she didn't go, "Hi, my name is sinner." No, what did she do? She looked for Jesus. And the moment she saw him, what did she do? She broke the alabaster box. In that moment when she found him, she broke that alabaster box. Whether she broke it open or broke the flask, she did it. And she began to pour it out. And she began to cry. And she began to wash his feet. And she began to dry it with her hair. And everybody else was sitting around the table going, Listen, I got somebody's got to leave in 14 minutes. I better preach hard real quick. When I came to be the pastor here, I went to another church and visited somebody. I think I've already told this story, Sheriff. But somebody came up to me and said, "You pastor the church where the inmates come." I said, "Yeah, well, okay." Come on. Break it down. Okay. Went to another lady and she saw the inmates walk in one time at another church, and she said, "I'm glad I'm on this side of the church." Come on. Come on. Come on. What? Last time I checked, the last time I checked, Candy, is that sin is sin to God. Sin is not defined by man. Sin is defined by God. So are they. Oh my God. Some listen to what I'm saying. Why they were sitting there looking down their sanctified, righteous self, righteous, full of indignation, looking at this woman. She didn't ask them what their name was. My God, she didn't tell them who she was. She didn't ask what their credentials was. She didn't even ask where Jesus was. She looked for a bearded man from Galilee. She looked for him, and all of a sudden she saw him. And when she saw him, she didn't say, "Simon, can I do it?" She didn't ask the pastor, "Can I open it up?" She didn't ask the host, "I'm about to sit down and work." What did she do? She opened it up and she got down at his feet and she began to worship. Because Sister Donna, she didn't care what anybody else was doing. She didn't care what anybody else was saying. She only cared about the man whose name was Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of the Father. She could care less about anybody else in the room. She only cared about Jesus. She didn't care where they come from. She didn't care what they had to say. She just wanted Jesus. My God, I wish somebody shout, somebody praise God.
Because there was one day where I had to walk past all the righteous people and go down to the altar of repentance. I didn't care what they say. I didn't care what they thought. I walked right on past them because they didn't buy my salvation. They didn't purchase my eternity. But a man whose name is Jesus Christ of Nazareth was the one who bought my redemption. Somebody praise him.
She said, they said, listen, they looked around. Where's my cloth? Is it in my pocket? They looked around. I got it right here, Nathan. They looked around knowing what kind of woman she was. Look at your neighbor and say, let him remember. Let him remember. Let him remember. I want this. Y'all look at your neighbor and say, let him remember. Come on, do it. Let him remember. Let him remember. Let him remember. Let them remember why you get on your trip to Brazil and go preach the gospel of Jesus. Let them remember. Let them know who I used to be. Let them not know my name, but let them talk about the sin I used to be in. Let them talk. Because, baby, I ain't here for y'all. I ain't here for the Simons. I ain't here for the religious people. I'm here for Jesus, because this is all I have for him right here. Oh my God, someone tell me to preach right here. This is all that I have right here. This is my entire life right here. This is all I can offer him right here. But I'm about to open it up. I'm about to pour out my best. I'm about to give him all that I can give, because I don't know what else I can do. This is all that I have. Woo. So what did she do? What did she do? You know what she didn't do? She didn't ask him if it was okay. She didn't ask if it was okay. Tim, I'm preaching too long this morning. Did I look over at you and ask you if you were okay with me jumping up and down like a bunny rabbit? Should I have? Henrietta, when I'm on the front row and I'm moving constantly and you're having to bob and weave and look at the screens, are you mad at me and wish that I would sit down? Should I ask you next Sunday if I need to move on down the pew? Oh, Robohoko Shunda. You know why I ain't going to ask nobody Larry Bolton? You know why I'm not going to look over at them? I respect them and I love them, but I ain't going to ask them if I can worship. You know why I ain't going to ask them? Because y'all don't know how much it cost. Y'all don't know how much it costs for me to have this oil in my hand. Trey, you don't know how much it costs for me to be able to carry this in my hand. You know what? I may be I'm not 300 pounds. I may be 270 pounds. I may be 6'2". I may have nostrils that a freight train could go through. I may have thinning hair. I may have ADHD, but I've also gone through hell. I've also had to sit by and watch people that I love die too young. I've also watched drug addiction come in and out of my house. I also have been financially ruined. I've also been talked about. I've also been cursed. I've also been called a homosexual. I've also been called this. I've also been called that. Baby, you don't know how much it costs for me to have this praise inside of my jaw. You don't know how much it costs. You don't know the hell that I've been through. This is mine. This is mine. This is mine. This is mine. You don't know, Amanda. This is mine right here. So, I'm not going to open it up for you, Aaron. I'm not going to open up my oil for you. You can smell it, but it's not for you. I'm going to open up my jar, Donna, but it's not for you. I'm going to open up my praise, but guess what? It's not for y'all. When I open up this praise, I only have one person that I'm interested in getting the aroma of what comes out of this jar that I have, because he was the one. Oh, somebody. I wish somebody would listen to what I'm saying right here. He was the one who walked with me. He was the one who talked with me. He was the one when I was at my lowest that picked me up, and I'm standing where I'm standing because of him. I love every single one of you for the most part. I'm preaching too hard, so I got to make a joke. Oh my God, this is not in my sermon notes. Heather,
Did he look over? Did she look over at Simon and say, "Here, hold my oil"? No, my God, no, she didn't. Did she look over at him and say, "Here, hold it while I wash his feet"? No, she said, "Don't you touch my jar. Don't you touch what I've worked years to get. Don't you take what I got in my hands because it's something that you want to hold. This is mine, and this is mine that I give to God. It's my sacrifices. It's my sign that I should have died, that I shouldn't be here. But yet he kept me alive, so this is my jar. I'm not going to give it to nobody." She poured that oil out. She began to wash his feet. Her tears began to fall, and she began to wash his feet. And then what did she do? Women, y'all better. Women, say amen.
Amen.
Women, give me a shout right now. You know what she did? She set the jar down for 2 seconds, and she took that hair out of that wrap. You know what the hair represents? All them years we sat around Del Viney. Where's your, is your daddy? Your sister Wood sitting around her what chair? Beauty shop chair. And we all stood there with 27 bobby pins. You had 27. I had 27. And my mama had 27 in her mouth. And she would tease that hair up. It stood as tall as Del Viney Wood. And all of a sudden, my mama would begin to be doing them. She didn't use a curling iron. She'd do them big PhD rolls, and she would pin it down to her head. You know what that is? 1 Corinthians chapter 14 tells you what it is. It says a woman's hair is her glory. So what did she do? My God, someone listen to what I'm saying. She took her glory down. She took what represents her power and her authority, and she took it down, and she got down, and she began to wash the feet of the man who could forgive her of all of her sin. So not only did she have her oil, but she also took her glory, and she gave it to his glory because he deserved it more than she deserved it. Whew. Oh my goodness. Don't you know what manner of woman this is? If he was spiritual, he would know. If he was spiritual, then he would know what kind of woman is touching him. I love that. I love they said that. And Jesus said, "Hey, I got something to talk to you about." Now listen here. While this is going on, what is she doing? She's still pouring her oil out. She's still wiping his hair. She's still crying those tears. Why? Because their judgmental stares are not bothering her. They're not bothering her. You know why? Because she opened her oil up just for one man. All right, y'all sit down. I'm going to teach y'all something. We'll shout again here in just a minute, okay? I'm going to teach it. Balcony, y'all okay up there? All right, good. This is what I want you to catch right here. Stop opening your oil for everybody else. They laugh at me because of the way I sit down right here, but here we go. Jeanette, let me be like Avery. Let me cross my legs right here. Talk about me all you want to. Talk about me. Tell me what I'm doing wrong. Tell me how I should worship better. Tell me how I should do this better. Because I'm not opening up my oil for you. I'm not going to open up my oil for you because this is precious to me. So I'm going to keep it right here to myself. And the day you become Jesus is the day I will open it up. But until then, I'm not opening up my oil for you. Sister Donna, you want to be my Bible reader? Yeah, go to Ecclesiastes. I'm carrying you to a hard book of the Bible, Ecclesiastes, chapter 10, verse 1. Ecclesiastes, right before the Songs of Solomon, before Isaiah. I had to look it up in the table of contents today. Ecclesiastes, chapter 10, verse 1. If y'all ain't a Bible scholar, it's hard to find Ecclesiastes. It's hidden right there. 643 in my Bible. You found it yet? She's going to get there. You're going to go a little farther. You're going to get there. I'm taking a breather break right now, Larry. I got to catch my breath. I may have preached a little in the flesh a few times right then. Oh, my goodness. It's 2 minutes. Ecclesiastes 10:1. You finding it, Mama? She's getting there. I ain't mad at her because I should have told her. I gave you a printout last week. I didn't even give her a printout. You got it? What you got?
Chapter 1.
No, 10. Yeah. Wait, stop. As what flies?
Dead
flies. Give what? The perfume of what?
A bad smell.
So, if I open up my jar, didn't know if I could open that one. If I open it up, there's a smell to it. Because the oil has a smell. It's perfumed oil is what she had. If she opened it up and she left it sitting there and walked away from it, there's an aroma that's all of a sudden going to begin to fill the area where it's left. What is attracted to sweet smelling stuff? And Sister Donna read a scripture that said dead flies will ruin the scent of the perfume. So if I open up my worship for anybody and everybody, oh my Lord, if I'm scared to death right now. Oil will stain too. If I walk around with my jar wide open for the whole world to see, and I let you dictate my praise, and I let you dictate my worship, then I'm leaving it open for the sweet aroma to get around to whoever wants to smell it. And sometimes everybody don't need to smell my praise. Yeah. Now someone say, I disagree with that. Okay, go ahead. Because I got devils that chase me every day. I got devils who are after me every day of my life. And if they smell it, they're going to come after me. You know what, Green Jean? I take back what I just said. I want them to smell it. I want the enemies of my life to smell the praise in my life. I want them to smell. But I also want them to realize this right here. I'm not opening it up for you to get into it. I'm not pouring it out to you. I'm not pouring it out to you. I'm not pouring it out to you. There is only one. My God, someone listen to what I'm saying. She went in that house that day. She walked in there and she said, I've come for one person and one person only. And she got down at his feet and she began to wash his feet and she began to anoint his feet. She began to kiss his feet. She began to dry his feet. And guess what she did? She began to anoint his feet. She began to kiss his feet. She began to wash his feet. And guess what? She dried his feet. Guess what? She did again. She anointed his feet. She kissed his feet. She washed his feet. And she dried his feet. And the whole time they're sitting around saying, if you knew what manner of woman this was, then he wouldn't be letting him touch. He wouldn't be letting her touch his feet. But then he looked over at her and he said, Simon, can I ask you a question? Now, you're the woman. Simon's over here. He's looking down at his feet. He's looking right down there at her. And he says, Simon, I want to ask you a question. If a man credited, if he was a man who gave two people, one 500 and one 50, but forgave both of them when they couldn't pay, who's going to be the one who's most loving of the creditor who forgave him of his debts? He said, the one who owed 500, the one who only owed 50 is going to be okay. But the one who owed 500, that was a big debt paid for. Then he said, yeah, you didn't wash my feet. But she did. You didn't kiss me with a holy kiss like the Bible tells us to do. But yet she's not stopped kissing my feet. You should have anointed my head with oil as a welcome in the house. But you didn't. But she's anointed my feet. And she dries them with her glory. And then he looked down at her and he said, let it be known right now that your sins have been for your sins have been forgiven. In that moment, all she had was a jar of oil. But then what did she do, Larry McGuff? She got up with an empty vessel, but she also got up with everlasting life. So you know what she was saying? You don't have the right to judge me anymore. You can't look down on me with your righteous noses anymore because I want to get into his presence. You can sit there. You can score me. You can talk about me. But baby, I used to be a drug addict, but here I am pouring out my best. I used to be a prostitute. But here I am pouring out my best. I used to be a gambler, but here I am pouring out my best. I used to be intoxicated and hungover every morning, but now I'm here pouring out my best. And He looked at me and said, my sins have been forgiven. This is why I didn't come for you. This is why you didn't come for me. This is why I came for him, because he is the one who forgave me. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Why? Because all hope is in a man whose name is Christ Jesus. So, you don't know the cost of the oil. You don't know the nights of prayer that I've had. You don't know the nights of sorrow that I had. You don't know the nights of fasting or the days of fasting that I had. You don't know how big my yesterday was. But now my tomorrow has gotten even brighter, because I don't have to worry about yesterday, because Jesus has told me that my sins have been forgiven. You can't have my oil. This is my oil. You can't have my worship. This is my worship. You can't have what I've had to walk all over the world to gather. This is what I give to him, because he's the only one who can give me everything that I need. With my hands lifted up and my mouth filled with praise, with a heart of thanksgiving, I will bless thee, O Lord. With my hands lifted up and my mouth filled with praise, with a heart of thanksgiving, I will bless thee, O Lord. I will bless thee, O Lord. I will bless thee, O Lord. With a heart of thanksgiving, I will bless thee, O Lord. Can y'all sing it with me? I will bless thee, O Lord. I will bless thee, O Lord. With a heart of thanksgiving, I will bless thee, O Lord. Come on, Living Life. With my hand lifted up and my mouth filled with praise, with a heart of thanksgiving, what we do, I will bless thee, O Lord. One more time. With my hand lifted up, with my hands and my mouth and a heart of thanksgiving, what will we do? Come on. Y'all are getting the picture right here. I will bless you. Oh, hallelujah. I will bless thee, O Lord, with a heart of thanksgiving. I will bless you. When are we going to stop? With my hands and my mouth filled with praise, with a heart of thanksgiving, I will bless you. Woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah. lifted up.
With my hands lifted up.
It's the best I can give.
And my mouth filled with praise.
Oh, hallelujah.
With a heart of thanksgiving.
What will we do?
I will bless thee, O Lord.
Come on, I will bless thee, I will bless thee.
I will bless thee.
Do this and we're gonna go home. Ladies, you gotta, ladies, meet me in this fellowship hall. I want us to come down here and open up our alabaster box. And I want us just to praise him. You see, she walked into a room full of people, but she only had an audience of one that she was concerned about. Let's fill the altars this morning and let's just lift our hands and say, I will bless thee, O Lord. Come on now. I will bless thee, O Lord. I will bless thee, O Lord.
Come on, do verse one.
With my hands.
With my hands lifted up. And my mouth filled with praise.
Oh, hallelujah.
With a heart of thanksgiving.
Come on, live in light. I will bless thee, O Lord.
I will bless thee, O Lord.
I will bless thee.